The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix, I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
And that was Split Enz, one of my favourite songs, Give It A Whirl. Continuing on from our last episode where we were talking about the breakup and reformation of Hello Sailor, we'll go back to Brazier's New Legionnaires, which comprised of Andrew Langsford and Gary Verbaine on guitars, Les White bass and Michael Polglaze on drums. Their first gigs outside of Auckland came in December to Guaranteed Full Houses as support act on the Angels, New Zealand pub tour. They followed through in the new year with the national tour under their own steam. The revamped Flamingos was short-lived, disbanding shortly after the Catch tour. Turning his hand towards production, McCartney worked, among others, like the Narcs, producing their hit single Heart and Soul, for which he picked up Best Producer at the New Zealand 1984 Music Awards and their album The Great Divide, and providing the soundtrack to the skiing documentary Incredible Mountain.
Thank you.
McCartney spent most of 1986 editing the soundtrack to Bruce Morrison's Queen City Rocker, a film in which Hello Sailor had performed roles. Harry Lyon also found himself ensconced in a studio throughout most of the mid-1980s, managing Harlequin for Doug Rogers. Paul Woolwright flew to London to try his hand. The Legionnaires gigged their way through 1984, only entering a studio at the year's end. Nosferatu was a strange song, too strange for mass acceptance, with Brazier singing as though his leather pants had suddenly shrunk. And then it had to happen. Just when you thought it was safe to walk the streets of Ponsonby again, Hello Sailor reformed.
Your big house is beautiful. Pool you make
I just want to lie, 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 lie in the sand. Ship sails in the harbor. Sailor boy. They can bring you anything. I just want to lie, 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 lie in the sand. But I just want to lie, 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 lie in the sand. Oh, that sun. I'm dancing in the wind, and the sea comes rolling in, and I just want to lie, 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 lie in the sand, and I just want to lie, 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 lie in the sand. And I just wanna lie, 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 lie in the sand.
And that was Lying in the Sand by Hello Sailor. February 1985 saw the Glue Pot close its doors for extensive renovations. Two bands were formed for the occasion, Street Talk and Hello Sailor. Brazier, Lyon, McCartney, Ball and Kinney. The Boys, it was those Glue Pot performances which prompted Sailor's reformation on a part-time basis, checking to see if the magic was still there. In late April, they took off on a two-week North Island tour. None of the five members had been exactly absent from the bright lights since Hello Sailor's split in 1980, but the turnouts during that two-week reunion tour took the band totally by surprise. There's gold in them there hills. During their absence, Sailor's reputation had reached legendary proportions, never intended as a full-time band, with both the Legionnaires and the Pink Flamingos still operating. The Sailor Boys decided to follow through with a single for CBS, Fugitive for Love, aided by radio and television exposure, saw Hello Sailor back in the charts after an absence of 7 years. It was time for an album.
Asia and some Spain.
It was farcical from the word go, part of the Spinifex deal. With a six-figure budget to work with, the album was produced at Harlequin by Englishman Liam Henschel and mixed at New York's Electric Ladyland Studios. Prior to flying to New Zealand, Henschel listened to everything the boys had ever recorded, individually and collectively. By the time he arrived, he had already half the album sussed. "We can re-record these," he concluded, referring to Brazier's Billy Bold, Lyons' You Bring Out the Worst in Me, McCartney's I'm in Heaven, and Remember the Alamo, plus the recent Fugitive in Love single that we've just heard. And that was You Bring Out the Worst in Me, that Harry Lyons song. Of course, one of the greats from Hello Sailor. When Henschel declared that he wanted their songs on the album, the band demurred, but everyone's already familiar with those songs. Not everyone, Henschel pointed out. This album is aimed at the international market, so let's improve on those productions, okay? The band reluctantly demurred, happy that at least five newies would be included. With no exceptions, every recorded song was inferior to the original, and the one track which approached the grunt of yesteryear was Winning Ticket, the only track featuring Lyle Kinney on bass. Let's hear that now. Ah!
looking down. When you miss the bus, have to walk uptown. Every lonely circus clown. I really sympathize. Can't you see it in my eyes? My broken hearted cries for you. Every wayward boy in detention center. Adventure. I really sympathize. Can't you see it in my eyes? My broken hearted cries for you. And then one day you find the winning ticket. All those bad habits, man, you just kick it. Can stick it. I'm with you all the way. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tell a man today. I guess he'll beg you to stay for sure.
And that was Winning Ticket with Lyle Kinney on bass. However, Lyle, you see, didn't quite meet Henschel's expectations. I can do better than that, he told the other four. He didn't, but Liam Henschel carried out bass duties on the album, and Hello Sailor's bassist was down the road. Kinney then concentrated on his duties with pub band Cheek to Cheek. The problems didn't finish there. There was an interminable delay between the album sessions in mid-85 and its release in November 86. The boys themselves had a trip to New York to dabble on the mix, but, titled Ship Shape and Bristol Fashion, Sailor's fans were aghast with the album's overpowering keyboards and super slick production. To promote it, the band hit the road with Neil Hannon on bass and mocker Tim Wedd on keyboards. Following the album's inevitable failure, the Sailors returned to their individual careers in March 87. Brazier revived the Legionnaires and in January 88 released his long-awaited second solo album. Brazier didn't reach the heights of Inside Out, but that didn't matter. Like his fellow frontline Sailors, Graham Brazier had become an institution.
So they write you down on their social list. songs of war and gods that don't exist, and how you can't be free. Must we immigrate or stand and fight? Troubled times and we must unite. Let the chains that bind us be. There's no need to shout, everybody knows it's wilted now, our English rose. Let's storm the last Bastille, for the baton's hard and the dungeon's cold. You're black and white, young and old. Yesterday we did what we were told, but now we are believable. And you hear how the drums they roll. Street war must take its toll.
And that is the end of that chapter from Stranded in Paradise. And now we turn the page over to the rise of the independents. Although many 70s giants played key roles in Kiwi rock in the early 80s, it was the younger bands where one had to turn for an indication of things to come. At the turn of the decade, a new generation of independent record companies emerged, and as the 80s progressed, it was the new indies who best reflected New Zealand's ground-level rock and roll. As a consequence, the multinationals locked into their outmoded criteria for success, commercial possibilities and potential radio acceptance, that is, became virtually redundant in their contribution to homegrown rock. The impetus for the new independents was the punk new wave explosion. In the 3 years between the new music's New Zealand arrival and the end of the decade, there were exactly four local releases in the genre. The Suburban Reptiles, two phonogram singles and one apiece from Sheer Lux and Toy Love, both on WEA. No Scavengers, No Enemy, No Router, there was a dozen or so more bands who fully deserved to be placed on vinyl, but although these groups had not had commercial release, most had entered a recording studio at some stage to lay down demos. Let's have a track from the Suburban Reptiles.
Saturday night, take off the side of my room. My Saturday night, on Saturday night.
And that track, unsurprisingly, was called Saturday Night, Stay at Home by the Suburban Reptiles. Here's a track by punk rock band Toy Love. Pull Down the Shades. And that was Toy Love, Pull Down the Shades. A great supporter of Kiwi Rock, these demo recordings presented a golden opportunity. Staff, a 1ZM broadcaster, was already using demo tapes on his weekly Kiwi Corner half-hour show. In November 79, staff contacted half a dozen Auckland bands with a proposition. Let me use two tracks apiece to put on a compilation album. If it doesn't pay its way, that's my loss. If it sells, I'll use the profits to form a record company and get you guys on vinyl. The six bands, all punk, new wave, were The Scavengers, Mr. X, True Loves, The Swingers, Certain Sound, Baby, Primers, You're Gonna Get Done, Funny Stones, Proud Scum, Suicide, I Am a Rabbit, Tearaways, She's a Mod, Never Been to Borstal, and Bought Toy Love, who, despite a one-off deal with WEA for their Rebel single, donated Toy Love's song and an earlier version of Squeeze Brian Staff titled This Quite Remarkable Collection, AK-79, and he called his fledgling label Ripper Records. Pressed by EMI in Wellington and delivered or posted to a handful of record stores, AK-79 was released in mid-January 1980, and 300 copies pressed were all sold within a week. Ripper was in business and the new indie revolution had begun. AK-79's success assured staff, with Mike Chun in tow, immediately took two bands into Harlequin Studios to record the first Ripper single, Proud Scum, and especially formed for the occasion, the recently defunct Tearaways, minus Dean Martelli, already back in the UK. Released in March, this double-sider, Short-Haired Rock and Roll, Tearaways, Proud Scum, Suicide on Side 2, was definitely not radio fear. There was no chance of a major record company releasing something like this. Suicide 2, in typical Proud Scum style, sounded as though it had been recorded in a biscuit tin. A recording so raw you could almost see a track of vinyl shavings trailing the stylus. As for the punkabilly short-haired rock and roll, well, that's a Kiwi classic, pure and simple. Radio programmers would have loved it, had they dared give it a spin. It comes rocketing out of the speakers from the moment Gary Hunt kicks the piece into life. Mesmer's frantic guitar intro gives an indication of what's to come, and then John No One lurches into version one. No, it didn't get a lot of airplay, and swear words aside, that set the pattern for future indie records. Rip 002, released in April, was The Swingers' One Good Reason, recorded at Mascot and produced by Mike Chun.
You know, two wrongs don't make it right. But I-
This was something of a coup, as the Swingers, one of Kiwi Rock's biggest draw cards and with eyes set on Australia, had already begun negotiating with Mushroom. As such a distribution deal with CBS came easy, One Good Reason provided Ripper with its first chart entry, peaking at number 19, and the label followed through with the second double-sider, Graham Brazier's Six-Piece Chamber, with the instrumental, an old Split Enz tune featuring Enz member Eddie Rayner and Mel Green, former Enz members Rob Gillies and Mike Chan, plus Greg Clark and saxophonist Dave Bowater from Nelson on the Seaside. The next Ripper release was a real kooky number, John Lennon's Working Class Hero, as performed by National Party MP Marilyn Waring. It didn't sell. Ripper released more records throughout 1980, mostly double-siders featuring the likes of Pop Mechanics, Spelling Mistakes and Whiz Kids. All were one-off deals, no contracts were ever discussed. Meanwhile, Staff had diversified his interests. As co-owner of XS Cafe, near Island of Reel, he would provide Auckland teenagers with their only inner-city venue, providing gigs for the post-punk bands and a training ground for a new generation of pop groups. It was from these sources that Ripper and Propeller Records drew their successes. The man responsible for Propeller was Simon Grigg, record store assistant and former Suburban Reptiles manager. Grigg started the label on a borrowed $500, primarily to release a record by The Features, whose drummer, Jim Pinker, was his flatmate. Going for broke, Grigg decided to launch his label with two simultaneously released singles, City Scenes by The Features and Feels So Good by The Spelling Mistakes. And this next track is The Features, City Scenes.
Distorted.
Hitting the market in May, imagine Grieg's surprise and delight when first week in, both records cracked the charts. They didn't get very high, features reaching number 32 and spelling mistakes 29, but they hung around for 5 weeks apiece, which is more than could be said for other current releases from The Dudes and Street Talk. Enthused, Grieg turned to his new profession as record company head with a rare determination. The features and the spelling mistakes were promising bands, each with the potential, like Toy Love, to break out of the punky circuit and gain widespread acceptance. The features, though, were short-lived, and the spelling mistakes, as boot boy favourites, suffered accordingly. The Features had been formed in the beginning of the year, a third-generation punk band. Key member was Jed Towne, an excellent guitarist whose experience preceded the punk explosion. In mid-1979, Towne was invited by Richard Stillwell on bass and Jim Pinker drums to form a three-piece. The Superettes didn't see the year out. And early 1980, Pinker and Towne recruited Tearaway, Chris Orange, and Primer's vocalist Karen Van Bergen. The Features soon made a name for themselves around Auckland with their extreme sonic assault, as acquired taste and genuine cult band. A national tour to coincide with the release of City Scenes was a disaster. The provinces clearly weren't ready for Jed Towne's tortured guitar lines. Back in Auckland, the shortage of suitable venues brought the Features an early death, but not before recording the posthumously recorded Features Exposed EP, another chart entry for Propeller. Towne, Pinker and Van Bergen shifted to Sydney, where they formed the innovative Fetus Productions, who, under Towne's leadership, have survived as an occasional group much travelled around the globe, and with a string of impressive releases to their name. For its part, Spelling Mistakes inherited the Tearaway's audience. Some inheritance. It spelt trouble all the way. Boot boys, underage drinkers and poverty-stricken punters who couldn't afford a drink. A breed very unpopular with hotel managers, I might add. They were formed in May 1979 from the remnants of two punk bands popular with the Zwine set. From Get Smart came the Hanson brothers, vocalist Nick and drummer Julian. From the Aliens came guitarist Warwick Fowler and bassist Keith Bacon, soon replaced by Nigel Russell of high school band Revox. Formed by one of the most energetic frontmen in town, everything was going well for the Spelling Mistakes until Zwine's closed. With no regular venue, the punk bands were thrown into the street, battling for the limited gigs available at short-lived Squeeze Teenage Venue in Fanshawe Street, the Occidental Hotel in Vulcan Lane, and the Windsor Castle. The Spelling Mistakes survived better than most. They were competent musicians, chose their covers with care, wrote some pretty nifty pop songs, and even had a manager, Larry Young of Sunset Promotions, who booked the Windsor Castle. But when the Tearaways disbanded, all hell broke loose. Everywhere the Spelling Mistakes went, trouble followed. Auckland venues barred the group and their audience. Things weren't looking too rosy, but at least there was the Windsor. At the Windsor over Easter 1980, the Spelling Mistakes competed with over a dozen other local bands in Young's Rock Quest. They won, and their prize was a single financed and released on the forthcoming Propeller label, Grieg being one of the judges. The result was Feel So Good. With the single out, Young immediately sent the band on the road back home, and the troubles associated with their following kept building to the extent that Windsor Castle proprietor Kevin Lane told Young to stop booking the band. That was the final blow. In frustration, they called it a day in November, just after their second single surfaced on Ripper. In January 1981, Ripper celebrated its first birthday with a second compilation album, this time sponsored by Radio Hauraki. But whereas AK-79 had been indicative of Auckland's punk new wave scene at the end of the previous decade, Hauraki Homegrown 80 bore little relation to what was happening anywhere in 1980. Hattie and the Hotshots, Meryl, Yvonne and Jesse Hawke, David and Bob Skiffington produced sounds best confined to the coffee lounge circuit. The Valentinos, led by Sheer Lux's Paul Robinson, had a strong enough following but were hardly innovative songs by the Memos, and Rhythm Method displayed the growing ska influence around town. but there were better bands covering the ground. I'm going to leave you now with a wee ditty by The Swingers, and it's probably their most known song, called Counting the Beat.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.